trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
Kickoff hour number three of the program. This segment brought to you by Blue Water Climate Control. Check them out online at bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. Locally owned and operated. They got you covered for all your HVAC needs right here in Knoxville and surrounding areas. Just go to bluewaterclimatecontrol.com and take advantage of their virtual dispatcher. They'll have you set up in no time. Mention Fan Run Radio for a discount with Blue Water Climate Control. David said he knows he's tuned in to Three and Out when he's found the British cooking show or whatever it is. Sorry,
British baking show. Thank you.
With Houston from Tennessee with the Philly phone lines. If that doesn't cover it all, I don't know what does.
Me and Hickman are thinking about going up to Big Orange Philly's today.
Grab a little lunch. A little dinner.
Yeah. This grilled buffalo chicken Philly looks pretty interesting.
Do they have buffalo wings and Philly cheesesteaks?
They definitely have Philly cheesesteaks.
Okay.
I don't know if they have wings, but they have a buffalo chicken wrap.
Ooh,
Caesar salad. That's a guy.
Oops.
There's probably a Caesar town somewhere.
Dart.
I mean, he had a palace.
Billiards.
Wow. Yeah, they got pool. It's a sports bar, man.
All right. Pretty pumped.
Hickman, what's your cheese on a Philly? Go.
I rotate between Cheese Whiz and provolone.
Cheese Whiz, this guy. I'm a big provolone fan.
Okay.
It's a perfect balance between mozzarella and Swiss. Sometimes Swiss can have a funny, like, you know, almost footy, like socks.
Footy?
Like it smells like a foot.
Oh, okay.
Tastes good. Smells like a foot.
All right.
Provolone. Cheese Whiz, though, huh?
I mean, it's...
Where do you get a Cheese Whiz Philly? Around here?
There is a place in Sevierville that does a pretty decent Cheese Whiz Philly.
Really?
Around here, like if I'm in Knoxville, I'm going provolone, though.
When I went to Philly, there were four of us, and we each got half a Philly from Pat's and half a Philly from Gino's, the two most famous cheesesteak places in all of Philadelphia. They were both terrible. It was very disappointing. So FYI, Nate, if you ever go to Philadelphia, don't go to Pat's or Gino's.
Don't you just get them off the street up there?
Yeah, I mean, these are kind of almost like, you know when you go to the fair or the carnival and they've just got those big colorful trucks with the glass windows and it's like that but bigger. Mm-hmm. You can only eat it outside.
Yeah, Pat's and Gino's too commercialized.
Yeah, just overrated. They weren't terrible, but yeah.
Where do you get your Philly cheese around here?
Oh, I've got some places. There's a little Timeout Deli down from the house. They make a mean chicken Philly. Mm-hmm. Mean.
Mean?
Mean.
I don't think I've ever ordered a chicken Philly.
Really?
Don't think so.
He doesn't like chicken.
That's true. Yeah. Forgot about that. He did just say, I don't like chicken.
Chris, I was reading about your boy, why Tennessee expects a big season from tone-setting linebacker Jeremy Banks.
The Bull. Well, he is a tone setter. Sorry, we're getting flagged down. I got confused. I would want to make sure we weren't about to make a mistake. Is there something wrong, Adam?
No, you're good.
So, is it important? Is it urgent? Should Nate stop what he's doing, or can he continue?
No.
No what? That's
continue.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Jeremy Banks, and then we've got, now that Tennessee's locked down, you know, the corner commitment from Matthews yesterday, you know, what are the other needs Tennessee has in this recruiting class? But first, we're going to Matthew on the phone line. So what's up, Matthew? You're on Three and Out.
I had a text to Adam saying, it happened again, didn't it? I was fully prepared. I was like, you know what? It's Tuesday. It's optimism. I'm not going to let it get me down. You know, I have a question for you, Houston. Are you a Gus's guy or a Sammy and Andy's guy when it comes to your sandwich?
Both. Those are Knoxville institutions, and I will not pit one against the other.
They're like his children.
Sam, Andy, and Gus.
I'll have a favorite. we all have a favorite child. Like, I'm the favorite child. It's a fact. Like, you obviously have a favorite.
I'd probably have to go Gus's, honestly. Love Sam and Andy's. It's not what it used to be. I'll go ahead and say it. It's not what it was when I was growing up. It's still really good. The turkey and Swiss on wheat, still a very good sandwich. But Gus's, the next time I get something bad from Gus's will be the first.
I go for the burger at Sam and Andy's, so I'm biased.
That's what I normally get too at Sam and Andy's. But I'm telling you, the turkey and Swiss, they heat it up. It's nice and warm and soft. Very good.
Hey, for Hickman, I got permission from the lady. I don't have to go to a wedding, so I will be in Knoxville, Tennessee for the third Saturday in October when we get the upset. I'm calling it now. We're going to start off 5-0.
Optimism Tuesday!
We're going in there. We're going 5-0. We're going to take care of Ball State. We're going to take care of Pitt. We're going to go take care of the Zips of Akron. Then we're going to get the monkey off our back for the second time in 19 years and beat Florida.
Ooh.
And then we're going to go into Death Valley. Claire and Austin will be there. And we're going to take away that accent from Brian Kelly.
Family. Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to go on a bye. And then we're going to get ready for the greatest show on earth, Cedric Tillman down the sideline with the win. And I'll hang up on that. Love you guys. Bye.
It's Optimism Tuesday. There that was go. A great call. Mm-hmm.
Tillman did ball out in my dream I had.
You had a dream that we beat Alabama. Billy Stats apparently had a dream that we beat Florida.
Yeah, Billy, I think he's just playing.
I think he's trolling Hickman. He had the Hyatt down what? The sideline.
What are you guys, the dream police? The guy's not allowed to have a
Billy
dream?
Billy did not dream about that. I know good and well that he did not dream about that.
He admitted, I normally dream about Tennessee basketball, which I don't know if I've ever
They just sell him a lie.
Who's buying it? No one's paying him anything. He's just saying, I had a dream. What's wrong?
You can't take. You can't believe what that guy says. You should know.
And people,
you should know better than anybody.
Are you saying that Billy Stats is not allowed to have a dream and tell people about it?
I'm saying I just don't know how honest he is about the dream.
Well, how do we know how honest you were about your dream? You could be making that up too. We believed you.
I wouldn't make that up. Billy
Maybe
would.
Billy wouldn't.
No, he wouldn't make
Are
it
Are you saying that Billy is trying to steal your dream shine?
Sounds like it.
All I'm saying is I'm trying to, you know, somewhat take your side. The guy, you know, you know Billy, how Billy is.
Billy and I have patched things up.
Yeah, well, I won't take your side then.
I'm not on anyone's side here. I'm just, I don't understand the policing of other people's dreams.
It didn't happen.
Well, I guess we'll never know, will we? Unless you waterboard Billy until he tells you the truth.
Don't tempt me. I might.
Whoa.
Nate, I don't know if you heard that, but that was a pretty big threat.
Mm-hmm. Kamal Haddon's back at practice.
Boom.
Video is out.
Optimism Tuesday. We got
Sparks.
Our cornerback back.
There's video.
Cornerback back.
It exists.
It's confusing. Sorry.
You think the Bulls going to become our vocal leader that we need in this defense?
I'd take it. I think he could be. He's rambunctious.
He's one of those guys that loves the game of football, Tim Banks said.
You need that on a team of football players.
Mm-hmm.
You need some guys that love it.
They just love it.
Got to have it, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got a lot of guys that love the game of football, don't you? Doesn't it seem like Hendon Hooker loves football now? Did you see the article about how he was playing really tight and Heupel and the guys said, hey, or I think maybe it was Golish. He was watching him play basketball. Apparently Hendon Hooker is like an amazing basketball player, like good enough to maybe play like at a D1 school.
Hmm.
But on the basketball court, he knows he's the best, so he's, you know, he's smiling, he's going behind his back, between the legs, dunk. And they said, you need to play football like you play basketball.
Hmm.
Don't think so much. Just go out there and have a good time. Since then, smooth sailing.
Sky's the limit.
The question for Banks, though, is can he rein it in?
Well,
that's kind of been his thing. He goes a little too hard sometimes, and I like guys that play to the reverberation of the whistle, as they say, but he's been known at times to maybe cross that line.
Well, his position coach said, Jeremy's not going to always be the most vocal leader, but he does lead by example.
Again, those examples, not always the best example.
He kind of does kind of predict the temperature of the team. And I think when he comes out and has the right type of energy and juice, the whole team feeds off that.
So now we know. Because what do I always do, Nate, when the guys run out of the tunnel? What am I always looking for?
You want to see the energy.
Juice, right? I'm looking for juice. So I just need to find Jeremy Banks.
Yeah.
And if he's bopping around, he's shaking the dreads, you know, pounding the foot, I'll know. I know what you're laughing at. Keep it down over there. I saw it too. That's a stretch. We're not going to take that and bring it to the show, although I did think, Tim, that was pretty funny.
All right.
No, that's not what I'm laughing at. I was laughing at something totally different.
Oh.
Oh, well.
What were you laughing at?
Can't bring it to the air.
Okay, well, that'll be in the In the Breaks podcast. Brett's got big fan information,
This
though.
Is huge.
Huge.
This is big.
Because we touched on this a while back.
This is a big one.
How tough this could be on some people. The whole system, especially, as we talked about earlier, in a stadium that has no working Wi-Fi.
It has Wi-Fi, but like you said, working.
Yeah. Big news, if you're a Tennessee fan, intern Brett, break it down.
So there's an event Saturday morning.
Oh, an event.
Saturday morning.
Do you know what this event is called?
No.
I heard you say it earlier, and I've already forgotten.
No before you go.
No before you
before
go.
You go.
All right.
Pay before you play.
So Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Neyland Stadium, gate 10.
Tennessee, 9 a.m.?
9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
We got a tailgate for this thing? Get out of here.
Athletic representatives will be on hand to familiarize fans with the process of entering the stadium using a digital ticket.
Familiarize fans with how to enter the stadium with a digital ticket.
I just did it.
Do you have a phone?
Let's take a quick break. Let's reset.
Houston needs a minute.
No,
before you go, Houston.
What's this going to take? 5 minutes? Like, what are we doing here? Come on.
They've scheduled 5 hours.
It was a graveyard smash. He did the match. It caught on in a flash.
He did the match.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my...
No, before you go.
They did the monster mash.
Well, some people are saying... Well, Aaron is saying that with how long it takes some of the elderly people to figure this out, 5 hours may not be enough.
We never really broke this down. So they completely did away with paper tickets. Done. None. People have collected paper tickets for years.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018, they did the huge booklet with all the 98 stats and honorable players, and you had the ticket, it was cool, and they'd tear the little stub, and you could keep it. You know, those are, I mean, how you make a scrapbook if you don't have a ticket stub? And now, in order to save the environment, Danny White has said, no more paper, no more ink, digital only, and people are worried. My question is this. So they're saying that screenshots may not work. If you screenshot the barcode, there's a chance that the scanner won't be able to read it, so people have to save it to their Apple Watch. Do you have is there an app on your phone if you get tickets?
Apple Wallet.
Well, he's an Android guy. That's why I was asking him. Yes, Apple Wallet is first of all, it works great for us. I mean,
like the Major League Baseball has like a
they have an app probably for themselves. For
the whole thing, I thought it's like the ballpark app or something. Oh, yeah, there's, I don't know, there's a wallet. It
says you have to have the Tennessee Athletics app.
Wait, what is this?
Like,
improve security and reduce the amount of ticket fraud.
Yeah, that's...
What if you don't have enough storage?
I guess you're not going to the game.
I had to delete the Fan Run Radio app the other day to download the Ticketmaster app.
You did what?
What is wrong with you?
I re-downloaded it, though, the day after.
Okay.
I mean, we're struggling to find storage over here.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's a Google Wallet. Google, you know, Google Pay, same thing. So, but I don't, I mean, I guess you could do it that way.
All tickets on Ticketmaster, though, I'm pretty sure screenshots won't work.
Really?
Pretty sure. I'd assume they're all the same.
Well, that was a big deal when people would get their season tickets a few years ago. They'd take pictures of their season tickets and say, hey, look, I got my season tickets, and counterfeiters could steal the barcode.
Right.
And... you know.
What were Tennessee's tickets on last year? Because I definitely screenshot last year when I went to the Ole Miss game.
Same.
And it worked fine. I probably still have them on my phone.
Like, no, I know for a fact they worked last year or the year before with just screenshotting. Like, the university would email me some, and if I gave them away or sold them to somebody, I could just screenshot. Now, you got to kind of zoom in to make sure that the barcode is visible, and you can't have the same one twice. So you had to double check.
I think this is a new thing that they're doing with ticket scam prevention.
Okay, but serious question. What if someone, and I don't know who, I mean, we all kind of assume, oh, yeah, everyone's got a smartphone. What if you don't? What if you have a flip phone? What if that's all you have?
I don't know.
Well, then you're probably just SOL, but, like, I know the thing now is...
So what, you show up and say, hey, I bought tickets, they never mailed them to me. Like, this, it feels like this is creating a problem that didn't necessarily have to happen. I mean, can you go to Will Call and say, like, can I get two, just the, I mean, all you gotta do is print out the barcode.
Yeah.
Or the QR code now.
Maybe you can still do that.
You think? You think you could print them out?
Maybe you can go to Will Call and they can look up your account as long as you have your, like, your ID and your
confirmation
number or something. But I mean, couldn't people steal that? I guess I don't know.
You can, like, send people tickets now on, like, the Ticketmaster app. Like, if you're selling tickets that you have, you don't have to, like, send them an email or anything. You just send to their phone number.
Yeah.
Send them one ticket. They create an account or sign into their account. And the ticket's there. And then from there, they can add it to their Apple Wallet.
Well, and I'm pretty, like, let's say I bought four tickets. I could have all four of the tickets in my Apple Wallet, and I'm just with the three people I'm going with, and I say, these are our four tickets, and they just boop, 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 and then we're all in. 5 hours? 4 hours? What'd you say? Four hours.
Yeah. I mean,
how many people do we think show up to that?
82.
82 people.
Which will also be the average age of the people there.
Now, come on, Hickman.
The problem is, like, those people that need it are probably not going to get the communication
about
to come.
Oh, you mean like the email and the tweet that said to come? Yeah.
That's always the challenge.
So rather than having those things hang in your car when you're driving to park at G10, they're going to have to scan each car coming in?
Yep.
So that's going to be...
Yeah, so instead of, like, here's my thing, and they clip it with the hole punch, now you have to, like, scan it.
And the scanner's apparently
the parking right now is a mess. Like, people that have been in G10 for 20 years because of the new ticketing system, they're somewhere way – Tennessee now has a lot next to Pete's Coffee Shop downtown. Like, if you bought a parking pass
– you could end up
– there's a chance you are parking Market Square or further. And I –
crazy.
What's that wall?
So you're just paying for the parking pass. You don't know where you're going to be now. Like, you can't say, I want to park at G10.
I mean, I guess you could say that, and they'd say, okay, that's going to cost you an extra $10,000 or whatever, however much it is. Right. I mean, the parking passes are not
a walk
not
from
cheap.
Pete's to Neyland Stadium, that's about a 45-minute walk, right?
No, I wouldn't say it's that long. It's probably,
it's every bit of 30.
To the east entrance, I mean, it's probably a mile and a half, 2 miles. But you got to wait for red lights and crosswalks.
Which would probably take you 45 minutes.
I feel like I've done it before. It's not that bad. It's probably 15 or 20 minutes from there. Give or take. I mean, I'm estimating here, but I've made that walk. If you take the Sky Bridge over Henley Street, you know, if you kind of know what you're doing, you can do it pretty quick. If you actually have to cross the streets, though, if you don't take the Sky Bridge, you're waiting a lot longer, especially with, you know, game day traffic. And then obviously the closer you are to kickoff, the harder that's going to be. Getting out's pretty easy once you leave the stadium because they've got all the roads blocked off, but then you're going to probably sit in your car and wait on traffic and people crossing the street for an hour. Are we just that far behind that it's going to be like a much bigger change for us to catch up? Like NFL stadiums, are they all digital? I feel like they're not, are they?
I haven't been to an NFL game in a while.
Yeah, me neither. It's been a minute. But know before you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important thing. To know before you go.
So do you... That's not like the same as go view your seats or whatever, right? They're not doing it all in the same day, ooh, right?
I think they've already done some of the meet.
Because I wasn't sure if they did because they're renovating.
Well, now that they're done, I feel like depending on what part of the stadium you were in, some people did get to go and like meet their seats, which right. is a weird way to say it. But also, did none of the pictures that did they do away with chair backs this year? The foam chair backs? I haven't seen any of those in the pictures.
Oh,
now I know they pressure washed everything,
so they
and really cleaned it up. But I don't know. I don't know if
they might be reinstalling them.
Could
know,
be
the next couple weeks.
Yeah, which I mean, you wouldn't want to do that like a month earlier. But I was just curious.
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe they got rid of those or not. But you see what I'm saying? Are we that far behind that where Danny's like, oh my God, like you guys don't even have digital tickets? But yeah. Then it seems like there's other changes happening, like the mixing up with the parking and like the evening out what everybody pays in a given section for their seats. I get mm-hmm. that. I know a lot of people hate that because they were grandfathered in for 100 years or whatever. But it does make sense that, you know, people would all pay relatively the same to sit in a certain section. I don't know. Know before you go.
Know before you go.
But aren't they going without knowing for this?
Well, yeah, for this.
They're going to go to know. So that when they go back, they know.
Now that we're, you know, farther and farther removed from the whole, you know, COVID season and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It would be really nice if they could figure out how to get people in the stadium quicker and more efficiently.
Yeah, that
was a big issue.
That was a big problem last year.
You can't have people get to the game 25 minutes before kickoff and not be able to get to their seat before kickoff.
Well,
or 45 minutes even.
Is the scanning going to make the good thing is with the scanners is you can have more people with a scanner, but you could have had more people just ripping tickets too. Because typically you walk through a gate.
I feel like most people had digital tickets the last game I went to. I don't think that's...
The digital has to take longer. Because if you had a paper ticket, you walk up to the usher, he's just like, yep, that's this game, and here you go. Now they got to scan it. Oh, can you turn your brightness up? Oh, it's not scanning.
People who don't
reason.
Even have it pulled up, and then they get up there, and they can't get it pulled up for whatever reason.
Well, that goes back to our, you know, when you get to the drive through and don't know what you want to order.
Well, it felt like, for me, the problem was... They didn't have enough people at the bigger gates, and they wouldn't let you. I mean, they had gates like right there that go to the same sections, and they would not let people go through certain gates if they had certain like types of tickets. It was crazy.
Yeah, I realized at certain times, like, oh, your ticket, like my tickets that used to be in K would say gate, oh, what is that? 20 maybe? But if there was no line at gate 19, you just walk up and they're just like, and I just have to walk a little bit further once I'm in the stadium. I don't understand directing. I understand why you wouldn't want everybody to go through a certain gate, but if the line is 50 deep at gate 18 and I just want to go in gate 20 with no line and they're like, no, you got to go through gate, that doesn't make any sense to me.
That was so stupid.
Especially now when it's all digital. I mean, it goes immediately to the computer and they have everything they'd want.
You're shooting it with the gun. I mean, I don't. I mean, I understand when they, if it's the little gate with for the luxury box or whatever. I mean, like, that's different.
Sure, sure. Or if you got to get on the elevator or something, right.
But, like, I don't know. It was really bad. Like, you cannot... I mean, how long... What's an acceptable time to wait in line to get into the stadium? 10 minutes? Max.
Max. I mean, that would be, like, if you're late and it's
like everybody,
Florida.
That's like when everybody's getting there at the same time. If I got to wait 10 minutes because
right.
I just happened to get there 15 minutes before kickoff when everybody's trying to get in.
Yeah.
And I have to wait 10 minutes and I get there right before kickoff. Okay.
Well,
but that's got to be max. You can't be staying out there for 25, 30, 35 minutes yeah. trying to get in the stadium.
Well, and they had a lot of other issues too with, like, they would put the beer carts right at the entrance. So then that just bottlenecks everything mm-hmm. even more. Then there weren't enough beer carts and the lines for that. I mean, people would wait 35 minutes to get into the stadium. Then they'd want a beer and then they're not sitting down until the second quarter. That has to be better. I mean, I know it's a lot of people, but it's a big enough stadium that there should be ways to expedite entry, seating, concessions, all that.
Yeah.
I think he's done a lot of good things, but it is weird that I don't remember it ever being that bad until, what, probably COVID year? Like, before that, I don't remember ever waiting to get into the stadium.
I don't know, though.
I typically like to go in 45 minutes to an hour earlier.
That's what I was about to say. Most of the time I've gone earlier, and the last few times, for whatever reason, I just haven't. So I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
But
it could just be a people arriving late problem, too.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Like, if everybody's getting there 20 minutes before kickoff, then obviously you're going to have a lot of
yeah.
additional crowding at gates.
Like, for the Ole Miss game last year, I don't think there was anything they could have done that would have made the gate I was at go smoother, because it was
they could have let me go in the gate right there where no one was going in.
I heard.
And they would not let people go through it because it was on the same hallway as the luxury stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
But there was no partition. Like, literally, you could have walked in that gate and just then turned left and been right back in the same tunnel that nobody was walking, because there was this huge bottleneck. Or the two people that were standing there manning that gate with their little scanners doing jack bleep could have just taken four steps to their right and helped the people scan tickets
right,
faster
right.
because there's no one coming through there.
Yeah, I heard horror stories about the
Ole Miss was the worst.
Yeah, Ole Miss game. I heard it was an absolute joke.
Yeah. I mean, that'll be Florida this year if we beat Pitt and, you know, get it together.
Chris wants to know if there is any way to get physical tickets, even if you can't use them, just to collect them. He says he's a big physical ticket guy.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I mean, I guess you could make some up online or something. That sounds stupid. I'm
we'll
sorry.
Come back
don't
with
do
more.
That,
don't do that. You meant they would have won it if the basketball guys had played on the football team.
We're about to hang one then.
Hang the banner. Madden Iamaleava, Beard and Bulldog.
Confirmed or?
That's rumor.
He's the rumor mill. I guess he can do that.
It's a rumor. Well, the reason that came up is apparently
some poor quarterback at Bearden just transferred.
Yeah. Can you do that? One time free in high school?
Dude, you think college is rough, man.
I heard what T-Carp said about stealing William Blunt's quarterback. I know how the game is played.
That, move right? around.
Yeah, he always blames Maribel for that. Like, Catholic doesn't do it, too. I mean, everyone does it. What was it? Was it Friday Night Lights where they just had a mailbox on a field? And they were like, yep, this is where I get my mail. I live here. It's in the line. I'm going to Permian. But it wasn't Permian in the show, right? Permian was the name of the real high school
in
the movie.
Yeah, yeah, I don't
was
remember.
It in the
I don't know. I can't remember. They were blue. I remember that they were blue.
Yeah, which is not accurate either.
No. No. Permian was actually black and white, like the movie. But the rumors are that Texas A&M is throwing a lot of money around
at
Southern Cal quarterback commit Malachi Nelson. Like, big money. like half of what they spent last year on their entire NIL fund, which we all know, and Nick Saban has made sure we know, even though Hickman is Team Saban. But, yeah, like A&M, they spent a lot of money. They got a lot of good recruits. They're trying to steal Malachi Nelson from Southern Cal, and there's a little bit of fear from some, not me, but some, that Southern Cal, if they were to lose Malachi Nelson, would set their sight, Dylan Panthers, thank you, Billy, would set their sights on one Nico Iamaleava. I could be wrong, but it feels like Nico's pretty firm to Tennessee. He's got the Tennessee pajamas. He's visiting like every other weekend, going to get ice cream and softball games, baseball games.
He's tried to recruit for us as well.
Hey, it's working. Yeah. It's working, man. We're, you know,
I guess top 11.
What do you mean, guess it's? We're top 11.
We missed out on Carnell Tate, Kyle Casper, a couple of other guys.
We just got Jordan Matthews.
But he's trying, though, so I'll
we got Jordan Matthews.
That.
Got Caleb Herring. We got Shandavian Bradley.
Missed that guy, too.
That guy was going – Miami paid him way too much.
I mean, props to the kid for trying, but
– We're top 10.
Better than not trying.
We're top 10. What do you mean trying? It's working. Don't be negative.
I'm not.
You sound kind of – he's trying. It's also August. We got time, Hickman.
Yeah.
If some of our guys have big senior seasons, boom, up in the rankings. That doesn't happen here, but it could. It could happen.
Well,
Ricky Gibson, 4-star, maybe. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I guess the only thing that concerns me is, Callahan's latest on the 5 remaining needs in the class.
Yes.
You know, the two lines of scrimmage are, you know, the number one priority.
Those are important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But people don't want to say it, but when it's Josh Heupel, he's kind of a Mike Leach disciple, sort of. You're probably going to be weak at the line of scrimmage because your identity is more get the ball out, you know, get to the skill guys.
Yeah, but are you surprised defensive line? I mean, I don't think defensive line recruiting has been terrible. I mean, last year we did close really strong on the defensive line. We got Tyree West.
We just need interior guys. I think our class is pretty getting loaded the edge.
Yeah,
right,
but they got James Pierce. He looks like a
Shandavian,
I don't want to say
Bradley.
His, yeah.
Bradley.
Well, that I was doing last year, but yeah. No. I mean, Shandavian Bradley this year.
Herring, right? Yeah.
I mean, you got Rodney Garner. I feel like he's going to get the most out of those guys anyway. I'm not saying I'm worried about offensive line because, as you said, the idea is play fast, throw fast, don't, you know, not a lot of five-step drops and going through progressions. If it's not there,
well,
kind of tuck it.
If you're a defensive lineman, do you want to play defense on a tempo team?
Well, that's the question, right? Like, if you're getting taught
a gazillion snaps.
If you're getting taught the right technique to be a better player, if you're being coached up, you're going to have a lot of tape and you're going to get to play more football. Right? I mean, isn't that the whole point? Guys want to go places where they can play. Where are you actually going to play more than at Tennessee on defense?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, it's a little bit of a spin. I get it, but
probably get to be pretty aggressive, too.
I mean, obviously being good and forcing 3 and outs every time is really good. I think we would all take that for a defense just about every year. But you're going to get a lot more snaps. You're going to get a lot more identity of yourself put on tape if you come to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I think with one pretty decent year on defense, defensive recruiting will be fine. Well, I think you got some good coaches over there.
The third position of need surprised me a little bit. I'll come back and tell you about that next. Stick with us right here as we talk Tennessee football final segment.
You're such a pro. I mean, that tease just
nailed it. Final segment of the program, Optimism Tuesday edition.
It's going to be a lot of Rocky Top coming up here in the coming days leading up to football season.
Why are you? Yeah, usually it's Friday thing.
I was feeling it today.
Oh, feeling it.
Optimism Tuesday.
Never a bad time for
Getting
Rocky
excited.
Top.
Excited. All right, so another big position of need in recruiting is a wide receiver.
What?
Wide receiver.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You got three committed. But I thought this was very interesting. Cameron Seldon apparently has some positional versatility.
Yes. They think he's the Deebo Samuel, little running back, little receiver, you know,
so
slot.
So if he goes running back, then...
Oh, they think he might actually go full-time running back.
Or, I mean, they don't know yet, but yeah, so, I mean, there's a chance he could play running back or both. So, you know, there's only... Also said Nate Spielman might play a different position also. So Laycock's the only one that's a done deal, definitely full-time wide receiver.
So am I taking crazy pills here? We have one receiver committed then?
Well, we have three on paper.
Well, I know, but they've already got two maybe penciled in for other positions. Like, we should have zero problems.
We'll have Brew coming back, right? Or does he only have 1 year left?
No, he's got two.
So yeah. Brew will be back.
Apparently, we're in on Traylon Ray, 4-star at Tallahassee.
Okay.
So
Jalen will be back.
He's the most.
They've also not seen probably Caleb Webb's breakout freshman year. Just
Squirrel.
What?
Squirrel. I mean, Keaton.
Nimrod.
Keaton. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Keaton's a senior, though, isn't he?
I don't know. Is he?
He's up there.
Hyatt could return.
Yeah.
Or will he have his breakout year and
leave us? Right now, what's the best scenario for the next 5 years? That he has a pretty good year but comes back, or that you have him and Tillman drafted in the first two rounds?
Him and Tillman drafted.
I think so, too. I think I'd go ahead and just take that now.
We only have one running back committed, too. Will Stallings.
What year's Jabari?
And Will Stallings, he's the kid out of Bishop Gorman, isn't he?
Yes.
Ooh, God, that's not a good sign right there.
Why do you say that?
What is he, a 2-star?
3.
That's your only running back committed. You got problems.
Cedric Tillman was from Bishop Gorman. How'd that work out?
I mean, when you only got one running back committed, I'd rather not just take a flyer on a 3-star panning out to be a solid SEC guy.
Jabari Small is listed as a junior. Feels like he's probably back next year, right?
Probably.
Lynn J. Dixon has 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You got Jalen Wright, sophomore. Dylan Sampson, who they like, freshman. Justin Williams Thomas, freshman. And Lanith Whitehead's back next year. I feel okay with that group. I got no issues there. Would I love a 5-star game-breaking run? And also with the transfer portal now, I mean, we had Nayor. Texas came in and swooped him. But, I mean, it stinks for him that he got hurt.
Get who you need.
But it feels like it's a lot easier, especially on a 1 to 2 year basis, to go and pluck a guy who's at Wyoming or something like that to come in and play for you.
Yeah.
You're not pressing the panic button, are you?
No, this is just where the class is right now.
I would take two big offensive linemen in this class and not worry about receiver or running back. That's just me. Feel really good with what they've done at corner, really in the entire secondary. Got a couple of really good linebackers, some edge guys, a couple interior defensive linemen. Go get a couple of bookends, and I'll feel a lot better. I mean, don't get me wrong, 5-star receivers and running backs will be good. In this offense, though, do you even really need guys like that? Obviously, you'd want them, but I think this offense is good enough to have ample success without 5-star talent loaded up and down your offensive roster.
Right.
As long as you got a quarterback. And we got Big Joe next year.
It's a great sign. They're locking down some defensive guys. That's obviously got to be the priority.
I mean, that's what we were worried about, right? Getting enough defensive guys?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that'll do it for us here on 3 and Out. The new and improved Blitz is next, followed by Talk Sports, The Drive, and Overtime. Keep it locked in all day now for more Fan Run Radio.
Big Orange Phillies!
And the Big Orange Phillies.
For lunch.
Phone lines.
Yeah. Yep. Hickman, let's go.